It's smart to mind your manners.
Yes, here it is, America's outstanding program for young people, Mind Your Manners, with Alan Ludden and his panel of typical teenagers, presented by the National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the Teen Council of America, student advisor group, the Varsity, and Senior Prom magazines. This is the 142nd meeting of Young America's very own Problem Clinic, and it's just about to come to order now, because here he is, the man who conducts these weekly sessions, Young America's favorite advisor, Alan Ludden.
Thank you, Ed, and welcome, members. Glad to have you with us. You know, our purpose at these weekly sessions is to talk about your problems, and to do the talking, we have a panel of typical teenagers. So let's get this meeting started. It's hereby called to order, and the first item of business, as usual, is for you to meet today's panel of typical teenagers. And come on in, panel.
Betty Ann Kelly, 19 years old, college junior.
Margaret Andrews, 16 years old, high school senior.
Janet Bronson, 16 years old, high school senior.
Emmett O'Brien, 19 years old, college sophomore.
Lou James, 17 years old, June graduate.
Arnold Greenberg, 17 years old, high school senior.
Well, panel, your radio members have sent you another fine stack of mail this past week, and the judges had a tough time selecting the problems to present to you today. But they picked some very interesting ones, I think, and we should have a very good meeting. Now, here's the first problem. It came from a young lady in Adamsville, Tennessee, and for sending it, she will receive one of those wonderful new RCA Victor 45 record players with the world's fastest record changer. Now, here's her problem.
I want to know how a boy feels about a girl who will not allow him to kiss her. The teenagers in my crowd feel that a boy loses interest if you don't kiss him. What do you boys think? Recently, I dated a boy who became angry with me because I wouldn't allow him to kiss me. Does he think more or less of me?
Emmett O'Brien, you've been off to college now a whole year, and you've been working at a summer camp this summer. You're finally back on the panel. You're our most experienced gentleman on the panel, so I think perhaps you can help this young lady in Adamsville, Tennessee, if anybody can. Now, what do boys really think about girls who won't let them kiss them?
Well, sometimes, Mr. Ludden, it increases their respect for the girl. And also, if a girl won't let you kiss her on the first date, it's a challenge to your ego.
Yeah, it is, huh?
Yeah.
You say sometimes a boy has more respect for him. Do you mean that in some cases there are times, there are times when a boy has less respect for a girl?
No, you probably misunderstood me.
I sure did.
Sometimes they just don't think they'll go out with the girl again. There are some fellas like that.
All right. Lou, what's your reaction to this? What are you going to say to this girl as far as this very direct question? What do you think about girls who won't let you kiss them?
Well, I don't know how these other gentlemen feel, but I know that if a girl didn't want to kiss me, I certainly wouldn't want to kiss her.
All right. Arnold, do you have anything to add to this discussion so far?
Well, you know, this kissing goodnight business is an old custom. When you go out on a date, your first or second, it's just the thing to kiss a goodnight. And often it's just can be a dull thing, for a kiss should be spontaneous and unrehearsed and prompted by your affections, not by customs.
I see. Spontaneous and unrehearsed
right.
Kissing. That's what you advocate, huh? Okay, now, girls, I think perhaps you have something to say. It looks like you do. Betty Ann Kelly, you're first.
Oh, I think what Arnold said is just wonderful. Well, so many people seem to think that a kiss is payment for services rendered for the evening or something like that. Just because a boy spends money on you, well, after all, he asked you for the date. And some boys just aren't content to have a nice time and enjoy your company and have a lot of fun.
Oh, you think a girl is not obliged then to kiss?
That's right. You
well,
say
what,
thank you.
Well, what
but
should
all.
Prompt a young lady to decide to give her gentleman escort a kiss before she
spontaneous,
gets in?
Unrehearsed. What was it?
Affection.
Right.
Okay.
Betty.
Janet.
Well, if he gives you a nice friendly kiss on the cheek or something like that, you shouldn't make an issue of it, because that'll make sure that he'll never want to come back again. But also, you shouldn't do the opposite and reach up and kiss him when he isn't expecting
it. Let's ask the boys about that. What do you think about girls who take the initiative and reach over and kiss you goodnight, Emmett?
That's when the respect drops to its lowest ebb. And another thing, a genuine thank you, and it was swell, why don't we go there again, instead of a kiss. And I don't think the fellow will get angry. In fact, he's more likely to take you out.
All right. The last word, Margaret Andrews.
Well, she asked, does he think more or less of me if I don't kiss him? Well, I think that if she makes him feel wonderful and they have a wonderful time and she's a good companion, even if she doesn't kiss him, why, he'll still want to ask her again. It's not just that he depends on in his date.
Well, let's just verify that with the boys. Lou, what do you think about Margaret's point?
Well, I just wanted to say that if you like, it all resolves down to this. If you like a boy, kiss him, and if you don't, don't.
All right, Arnold, do you think Margaret had a good point there?
Right, I just want to say I had some cool statistics. Recently in a magazine poll, I think it was said that more than 50% of America's teenagers have said that you don't have to neck to be popular. So those are cool statistics, but take them for what they're worth.
Okay, that seems to be quite an answer to this problem, and I think we perhaps will hear from our radio members on. Now, it's time to get along to our second problem for the meeting, and it came from a 17-year-old young man in Nowata, Oklahoma. For sending it to Mind Your Manners, he will receive a wonderful Kragen Simplex tennis racket made of the finest selected hardwoods and constructed for rugged championship play. Now, here's the problem that won this Kragen Simplex tennis racket.
During the war, we traveled around a lot. Dad worked in government construction, and I was in as many as 4 different schools in 1 term. But for the past 6 years, we've been very happy in a home Dad bought, and I've gone to the same school for the whole time. However, now we're on the verge of moving again. Dad is employed in the oil field some 40 miles away from our home. I want to finish school here in Nowata, and we're living in our own home here. During the war, Dad drove over 40 miles, lots of time to work, and he didn't mind it then. So I'm asking you panel members, do you think I should change my home for an apartment and my school for a strange school just to suit Dad's convenience? Or should Dad drive to work for my convenience? Our rent would more than pay his expense.
Margaret Andrews, you did such a good job on the last question. I'm going to start out with you this time. What is your reply to this boy who seems to present quite a problem to you?
Well, I think that the father should be considered first. I mean, the boy could make his point, explain how he feels, perhaps suggest that he'd rather stay or would like to board or something. But when the father makes his final decision, it should be final.
Arnold, do you agree with Margaret?
I think she's got the right idea. I'd like to remind him that there's an awful lot of just plain bugaboo attached to a new school. I like to look upon it as something like a new experience. We always have sentimental leanings toward the old things, but look upon it as something new, something to look forward to when you'll succeed in it.
I don't think going to a high school would be half as bad as driving 80 miles a day.
If you were the dad, you wouldn't like to do that.
Oh, no.
Betty Ann?
Mr. Ludden, if this boy hadn't put in that last sentence about should I do this just for Dad's convenience, I think I'd have more sympathy for him. But after all, the father's the head of the house and everyone should go where he goes.
Well, now let's get around to this boy's problem of the new school, though. You know, we all agree that the 80 miles a day would be quite a chore and that the father does have a right to insist that he not do it. But now, from the boy's point of view, Emmett, what are you going to say, I mean, about this new school proposition?
Well, a couple of years ago, the same thing happened to me, and I think you can have a better time when you go to a new place. I know I did. And you can always go back and see your own old friends. It's only 40 miles. But if your father decides that you're going to move, go ahead and take it like a man and move and don't make any bones about it.
Okay, now there's one point Emmett, you made there that I think is very important that we clarify and repeat and emphasize today. We have more mail lately from youngsters who are worried about going to a new school. It seems to be the great pressing problem in a lot of cases, and everybody's scared of new schools. Now, Emmett can testify that you had a better time when you moved to a new school.
Yes, I can truthfully say that.
You can walk in, you're a new person, and sometimes you can have a lot of fun. You make a lot of new friends and everything. I know that happened to me, as a matter of fact, way back in my distant young days, but that's beside the point right now. The fact remains, though, that if this boy does move, he should act as Emmett suggested, as a man, and take it and not let his father worry about his unhappiness this coming winter. Lou, what's your last word?
Well, it's not as though going to a new school were a dose of bitter medicine. I mean, life should be fun, and starting new, and it's a challenge, and that makes things fun.
Okay, that's very inspiring words you have there. Those are very inspiring words, Mr. James. We'll move along now to our next department of the meeting with, I think, a very successful second problem discussion. This next department is always reserved for a problem from one of our adult members. And today, panel, a mother in Madison, Wisconsin, has asked you for some help. Now, here's her letter. Dear panel, I have a daughter who will be a high school senior this year and a son who will be a freshman. The question of school clothes is now before us, and our family is in an uproar all of the time because of it. The girl wants more than we think she should have, and the boy, who will just be entering school, doesn't want as much as he should have. So we have decided to leave it up to you, level-headed youngsters. Just what wardrobe requirements do you think we should provide for these two very different teenagers? Okay, Janet, let's start out and provide a minimum list of wardrobe essentials for girls. You start with the girls, and when you get over to the men, we'll talk about the boys.
Well, first of all, I'd like to make the point that she went to school last year, too, and she shouldn't just throw away all her old wardrobe and think it's no good, because you can always use it. And even if you've grown a little taller or something, you can add on things and alter the dresses and skirts so that they'll fit you. But I think separates are about the best thing you could buy, because you can mix them and make hundreds of different wardrobes.
What are separates, Janet?
There are blouses, sweaters, and skirts, and waistcoat, little things that you can change around. You can use a white blouse with, several skirts. And nylon sweaters are good because they dry very quickly, so you can have two, even one, and you can still get away with it and wear it.
Now, that brings up the problem of quantity. No doubt this girl wants separates, but Betty Ann... As a mother, minimum requirements, how many skirts, in other words, would you expect your high school senior daughter to have to start school? Start school, mind you.
Well, that's quite a question. Well, altogether, old and new things, I think about four or five skirts.
Four or five skirts, huh?
Yes, and when you're starting school for another year, I think it's good to buy... Well, this year, maybe a tweed or a flannel skirt, and then one sweater. And those nylon sweaters are wonderful because they aren't too expensive either.
Mm-hmm.
You have to watch out for your budget, you know.
Yes, you sure do.
And shoes are important, school shoes, or maybe she'd want to get dressy shoes instead. And about about dressy things, I think it's a better idea. Or maybe I'm just different, but I always wait for the occasion to buy something really dressy.
I see. Don't buy all of your winter clothes right away.
Oh, that's... No, never.
Margaret, what's your word on this?
Well, she can buy accessories and things with her own money, like scarves and jewelry and belts and things like that.
You think a mother is smart if she expects her daughter to buy those little extra things herself?
Yes, I think so.
I think so, too. That's a good point. Janet, your last word. We got to get to the boys
If
now.
She's really so clothes conscious, she can always buy the material and sew her own.
Well, that's a good point. All right, now, boys, let's talk about this mother who's going to buy clothes for her young son who's entering high school. Now, give her the minimum requirements for a boy in high school to look respectable, Emmett.
Well, a couple of pairs of slacks, some sport shirts. Look over what you wore year before. You can still use some of those.
For instance, if you had dress trousers last year, you could...
Yeah, you can wear them again. Or a shirt that you can't wear with a tie, you can wear it open to school. Couple of sweaters, maybe one sport coat, and if in your locality fellas wear Levi's or dungarees to school, wear those as long as they're clean.
Lou?
Well, about this quantity, I'd just like to say that the important thing is keeping clothes clean. It's not variety. Have enough clothes so that you can wear clean ones every day, that's all.
That's the point to remember.
Yeah.
And if you can, that's a good point. Now, what about these, I think that's a good point Emmett made about shirts. Boys are growing awful fast about the time they're entering high school, and they could outgrow a shirt. Now, if you had a dress shirt last year, Arnold, would you discard it if it doesn't fit around the neck?
If I couldn't button that collar, I'd just leave it right open.
And wear it to school?
That's right. Uh-huh.
You can go to school without ties.
Surely.
All right. Now, what about sweaters? How many sweaters should a boy have?
I don't think a fella needs more than two sweaters.
All right.
Perhaps one full one or one sleeveless one would work out well. And I think the main point of this thing is, as Emmett Lou just said, the well-scrubbed look, not only for the fella, but for his clothes, have them maybe 2, 3, 4 years old. Maybe his brother wore them, for that matter. As long as they're clean, that's what
matters. All right. I think you're the important point you made, boys, though, for this mother is, don't try to keep your son dressed up in school. If he doesn't want to be dressed up, that's all right. If he looks neat, if he's in good order in his clothes... That's all that's important from the boy's point of view, particularly as a freshman in high school. So don't worry if he doesn't want to get a lot of new fancy things, just so he's got something to wear to school that will look presentable. Now, for the benefit of you adult members, each week we take up one problem that has been submitted by an adult. We have no prizes for you, but we're very glad you're with us at these weekly get-togethers, and we really want to hear from you. We want to know what puzzles you about today's teens, and... Then we'll know more clearly what points to make in our discussions here with these typical teenagers. So this is a very sincere invitation from all of us here at Mind Your Manners to all of you adults to let us hear from you, won't you? Now, getting back to our teenage problems, we turn to one that came from Otto Schrader in Fort Worth, Texas. For sending it to us, Otto has won a 3-piece set of King's Men, the world's finest toiletries for men and the famous flagons of fired 23-karat gold. Here's Otto's letter.
Girls, here's your chance to fire back. But I want to know why, when a boy comes to call for you at the time he is set for a date, a girl invariably keeps him waiting until she finishes dressing. Are girls ever on time? And then, when we go to a movie, all you do is rave about Monty Clift or somebody. Don't you ever think of your present company? And when we're in a drugstore or diner having a bite to eat, why must a girl always haul out her makeup and primp a little? And why, oh, why do you lay the lipstick on so thick? I'm sure you'll blow up at this and gripe about boys. But if I follow your advice, would you follow mine?
Well, I'm not going to say a thing, girls. I'm just going to turn it over to you and let you answer this one. Betty Ann, what are you going to say to Otto Schrader about these charges he's laid against girls as such?
Well, I don't think I'll blow up at all, but let me see. Well, a girl keeps a boy waiting because she isn't ready. But many of us are prompt, really. We
yeah,
are.
All right.
And I don't
Make your notes, boys. It's your turn in a minute, okay?
And as far as thinking of present company, well, you do. You have to think of them because you're talking to them all the time. And we don't always haul out our makeup and primp up in public.
Do you approve of that, Betty Ann?
No, I think it looks terrible.
All right.
And I don't think, I'm sure we don't lay lipstick on that thick.
All of you don't.
I just, you know, reject all of the charges.
You just don't accept any
That's
of them.
That's right.
You declare not guilty, huh?
Yes.
Janet, do you agree that this boy is completely unfair in these charges?
Well, I wouldn't say completely. I think about the first question is about the closest he hit home. I don't think the other charges are too true. I think some girls think that it's just the fashion to keep a boy waiting at least a few minutes when
Do
he
you?
Comes in. No, well, I try not to anyhow, but I think it's all the wrong idea, and I also declare not guilty.
Margaret, do you think this boy has no basis in fact for these charges?
I don't think he really does, not in all of them anyway. Maybe occasionally, but there's always exceptions to the rule, but I don't think that the average girl is like that, and if he thinks that the girl is, he doesn't have to date her. He can date someone else.
He can find somebody who does isn't guilty.
That's right.
That's a good point. Now, boys, do you think this boy has any, Otto has any points here that might be perhaps true in general of girls? Lou James.
Well, Betty Ann said that many girls are prompt, but I have yet to find one.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree fully with
well.
You.
Nathan, you girls probably
you've had
are
your
the,
chance.
The exceptional ones that aren't late all the time, but there are quite a few girls that are late. Why don't you start a half an hour earlier and be on time?
Arnold?
Well, I'm going to do something I'll be sorry for in a few minutes, I think, but I just want to say this. All right, you guys, you just popped off against the girls. How about us? We male fellas.
You're what?
We've been late loads of times. And if we want to be technical, we were guilty on as many things as these girls are. So I'm gonna catch the girls, believe it or not.
You are. You think is your girl always on time?
Just about.
All right.
I'm late when she's on time.
On this trouble. Being late, I'll plead guilty. I've been late, well, maybe more than my share, but I've always called up or tried to call up and tell them I'm going to be late. A girl
always,
never
damn it, always?
All right, now I tell you, we're going to wind this up right here. we got to wind it up, but I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to turn this over to our audience. We haven't done this in a long time. We want our radio members to start sending us, and we'll keep a file of them, and I promise you, we'll discuss them in the future sometime. Send us your pet gripes about girls in general and about boys in general. Don't make it specific, but if you find it a custom that you object to among girls or boys, let us know what your pet gripe is, and we're going to have a gripe session, a rather vulgar term, but that's what we're going to have in the very near future, and I'd like to have comments from our radio members. Now, say incidentally, members, before we move along, how would you like to win one of our prizes? You know, it's very simple to enter our contest. Just send your problems to Mind Your Manners and listen now as Ed Anderson gives you the rules.
Well, members, here's the deal. Each week, the judges read all of your letters and cards and select the five most interesting for discussion at our next meeting. The best one wins the grand prize. All entries become the property of this program. In case of ties, duplicate prizes will be awarded. The decision of the judges is final. Contest closes at midnight on Wednesdays. Entries received after that date will be considered for the following week's contest. Be sure to put your full name, your age, and address on your cards and letters and send them all to Mind Your Manners, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York City, New York.
Problem number four for the meeting comes from an 18-year-old sophomore at Virginia Union University in New Jersey. Her prize will be a dozen pairs of beautiful Mojud nylon stockings in Mojud's newest Fashion Harmony colors. Now, here's her problem.
Last March, I became engaged to one of the home state boys who also goes to the university. We have known each other for at least 5 years. We did not plan to marry until he had finished his last year at school. However, the Korean War is interfering with our plans. My fiancé has received his notice to register, and he is just the right age, 25. He is very disheartened because he was taken out of school for the last war. And now, after 2 years in the Army, he is a senior in college, and again he must stop. My problem is this. If we marry right away, he can be deferred at least a year, time enough for him to finish school. It would mean my dropping out of school, but I'm only 18, and I can better afford to lose a year. We do not have war hysteria. We are trying to meet our problem like mature people. But it is such a big problem, we would like to have help in making a wise decision.
Very good letter, don't you think, Arnold?
Right, Mr. Ludden. We've had it many times before, and I think the best answer I can give is to say we're in no position to say whether you should get married or not, but we advise you to seek a third person, maybe an older sister, or perhaps better, your father or your priest, or maybe someone from the community chest, and lay the cards on the table right before him and let him or her help you out.
Betty Ann, do you think this girl is actually asking for help in making a wise decision? Now, what help do you suggest? Do you agree with Arnold that she should go to a third person?
Yes, I do, Mr. Ludden. Excuse me. The most we can do is give our opinions and hope that they will help her to really decide. But just one point I'd like to make. I don't think getting married will defer this boy. Am I right in that?
But he is deferred to finish school. If he's in school right now, according to the Selective Service, he will not be drafted in his senior year. He'll finish school. So whether or not he marries, he won't have to go to school till he graduates.
And one more thing that the girl might remember is that if she does get married, after he goes into service, she will probably have to rely on her family again, and should she finish school now.
Well, those are points I think that could very carefully be brought up by a disinterested third party who has experience, professional experience, in this sort of problem. We're getting an awful lot of these letters these days, and I think our only answer is, by all means, seek out a qualified third person to help you see your problem clearly. Your minister, your priest, a member of your church, a third person who has had experience in marriage and family problems. You will be able to get assistance. In some communities, there are such things as family counselors, and I think that might be a help in a case like this. Certainly, this girl is to be commended for her mature attitude in wanting to make a wise decision, and a very big one, certainly at a time like this. Now, before we take up our grand prize question of the week, let's pause to remind you members of the rules for our top Teen of the Month contest. Eddie Robbins, the floor is yours.
We're looking for America's outstanding teenagers, and we want you to tell us who they are. If you'll sit down and write out why you think a teenager you know is tops in 250 words or less, you'll have your entry in our top Teen of the Month contest. Just remember to include the full name, age, address, and school of your top teen. Also, give us the name of the principal of the school that he or she attends. Mail your nominations right away. The August contest closes today. Entries postmarked after today will be entered in the September contest.
Nominations will be judged on neatness, content, and, of course, the decision of the judges is final. Entries become the property of this program, and in case of ties, duplicate prizes will be awarded.
The writer of the winning nomination will receive a 30-volume set of the Encyclopedia Americana, a standard reference work of recognized authority since 1829.
And to the teenager named as our top teen of the month, we'll go a complete RCA Victor 45 record player.
Send all entries to Mind Your Manners, Top Teen Contest, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York City, New York.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Members, we're counting on you. We want to find out who you think is top, so let's have your entries. And here it is now, our grand prize question of the week. Today, the question that was selected as the most interesting of all those received this week came from a young lady in Oneonta, New York. And the grand prize is a pair of artistic lamps made by the Artistic Lamp Manufacturing Company of New York. Decorator style to lend charm to your home, artistic lamps represent the ultimate in fine lamp making. And here's the letter that won these beautiful lamps.
My parents don't seem to trust me to choose my friends. Whenever I go out, they always ask whom I have the date with and where they live and all about them. They always have to know where I'm going and where I've been. When I have dates, they set the time I have to be in. And although they are most always fair about it, it does seem to me that they could trust me more. It would give me a feeling of responsibility and the feeling that I was trusted more if I didn't have to live by such rules and have to account for everything I do. Don't you agree?
Do you agree, Lou James?
Well, I think this girl is missing the point completely, and she needs a little straightening out. As long as she's a minor, her parents are legally and morally responsible for all of her actions, and it's only natural that they'd want to keep a check on her.
You think that they're right in wanting to keep
a
check?
They have a perfect right to do it.
Betty Ann?
Well, Mr. Ludden, if she thinks her parents are unreasonable,
I'm sorry. I think just about every parent in the country is because, well, when I go out, I know my mother always asks me who I have the date with naturally and where he comes from and how we met. And then she'd like to know where we're going and where we've been when I come back home.
Why is that the logical right of a family, Janet? Why should a mother want to know where you're going?
Well, just in case anything happens, she always wants to know where to reach you. And she should meet the boy because she'll want to know what he's like and if he's really the right type of fella that she should go out with.
And it could be that your parents are interested and want to know what you're going to do and what you have been doing. If you want responsibility, offer the information that we tell them where you're going. Another thing, one little hint. Why don't you have a checkout sheet and write out where you're going? I know a couple of families do that.
Good idea, Margaret.
Well, I think that the girl should volunteer some information, too, and not have her mother and her father have to ask her everything. She should be willing to tell them where she's been and everything.
Betty Ann?
That's right. They'd trust her a little more if she wouldn't be so secretive about it.
All right. Last word, Arnold.
And when she is secretive, her parents must think she's ashamed of the fellow she goes out with and ashamed of the places where they go, for they'd like to know just what's happening.
Well, in summing up your answers, I assume you do not agree with this young lady, and you think it's perfectly logical for families to know where you're going, who you're with, what you're going to do, and when you're coming in. It does make sense, and if you don't understand, members, why it doesn't make sense, let us know. We'll talk about it again because it's a basic point. And that winds up our discussion period for this meeting, and it's time to open our answer box. But before we do, here is Ed Anderson with our weekly reading reminder.
Say, members, have you seen the monthly article Alan Ludden writes for you in Movie Stars Parade? He talks your problems over with a movie star. This month, it's Peter Lawford. Look it up. You'll like it.
Thank you, Ed. And now let's open our answer box. The first question to come from the box today, it came from...
A young lady in Grapeland, Texas. When you're invited out to dinner, how can you know when it is correct to help with the dinner dishes or to make an offer to do so?
Take your cue from your hostess. If there is no maid, and if it appears that the dishes are to be done before you leave, make a sincere offer to help. And if your hostess refuses, drop the subject. Don't be a pest about it.
From a girl in Detroit, Michigan. Do you think it would be okay if I worked right up to the last week before I had to go to school and then told my employer I was going to quit to go back to school?
No, you should certainly give your employer at least 2 weeks' notice. And there it goes. Our top just popped back on our answer box, and it's here time to hear those famous last words of our panel. What are they today, panel?
This is Betty Ann Kelly. Next week, we're going to salute another winner in our top teen contest, and we hope you'll all plan to be with us for the meeting.
If you've just started hearing these weekly meetings, we're very anxious to know what you think of them, and we'd appreciate you dropping us a note to tell us. This is Arnold Greenberg.
This is Margaret Andrews. I'd like to remind all you members that we're looking for good back-to-school problems, so let us know what your problem is.
And incidentally, men, we're looking for some good men's problems, so let us have yours. This is Emmett O'Brien.
When you write, be sure to give us your full name, your age, and address. That's very important if you want to enter problems in our contest. This is Janet Bronson.
And this is Lou James with our address. Send all your mail, and that includes problems and top teen nominations, to Mind Your Manners, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York City, New York.
Thank you, panel. It was a good meeting. Now, before we leave today, may I say again how much we appreciate your letters, members. You know, this past week we had many wonderful comments from new listeners, both adult and young people, and it certainly helps to know that you like our meetings. Now, it looks like it's about time to adjourn this one. So with a reminder that next week we're going to nominate a top teen, and we hope you'll join us, let me say that this is Alan Ludden wishing you all a wonderful week, and goodbye now.
Mind Your Manners, conducted by Young America's favorite advisor, Alan Ludden, is presented by the National Broadcasting Company. The producer was Bob DeFore. This is Ed Anderson saying we'll see you next week at the same time over most NBC stations. And in the meantime, remember...
It is smart to mind your manners.
Mind Your Manners originates in the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.